Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we were taught that as Christians, we should separate ourselves from anything that is worldly. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, when a person rejects separation, he rejects Christianity as it is defined and presented in the Word of God. They can hold to much truth from the Word of God, but reject what opposes their flesh. Now, I'm going to share some verses with you. Please write down the references and study them for yourself so that you can go back and see if these things are so. And ask God by His Holy Spirit to give you a clear understanding of these passages. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. It says, "Be ye not," and this, by the way, this is an imperative command. You say, what does that mean? This is something that God will call you into an account for, okay? So He's saying, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" And that's why in marriage you do not marry an unbeliever. And that is why you don't, as a church, local church, begin to team up with another religion or with the things of the world. What fellowship hath righteousness, that is obedience to God and true holiness, and unrighteousness? What agreement do they have? What fellowship they have? Fellowship is partnership. There's not a partnership there. And he goes on saying, "What communion hath light with darkness?" Now again, light represents righteousness. Darkness represents sin. "And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Now that goes against ecumenicalism right off the bat. "What part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" That goes against the contemporary movement, because you don't have part of that when the music appeals to your flesh and everything that is of a filthy, vile, sensual nature. And putting God's words to it is not going to change the vileness of the music. It's only going to corrupt the things of God that were at one time pure and holy in your mind. He goes on saying, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Not saith Andy Bloom, not saith your pastor, although we agree, but it saith the Lord is the authority from which this comes. "Come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord." From among who? All these that have mentioned, the unrighteous, the darkness, the Belial, the infidel, the idols. Separate from all of that. And he says, "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So, here's the second time, in two verses, we're told it saith the Lord, and here it adds Almighty, to know that the all-powerful, omnipotent God gets disturbed when we go against the doctrine of biblical separation. In John 15, verses 18 and 19, this is Jesus again speaking. he's preparing his disciples that within the next 24 hours he'll be crucified. And so he's preparing his disciples, and he says this to them: if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, why do worldly commentators, who are quite liberal, say things against God and make fun of our standards? We'll find a Joel Osteen or somebody of that nature who they praise. Well, if you're of the world, they love the world. If you're not of the world, if you're of Christ, the world does not love you. The world will hate you. Jesus says that. Now, the argument, again, is not with me. These are the very words of Jesus. So he says, because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now the next verses we see are 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. By the way, let me just say this. Yes, the disciples were hated of the world. Most of them died violent deaths at the hands of the world. And I believe there are many today said, well, if they had only done this, they'd done that, that wouldn't have happened. They could have compromised here, they could have compromised there, just like they tell us today. And they would have been on the world side then, just like they are today. See, that this taking the side of the world, this new evangelicalism, is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just that the devil repackages it from generation to generation with a new name. But it's still the same old sin, still filthy, still vile, still abomination in God's sight. Now, in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, we alluded to it earlier, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's really my answer to the emerging church, the contemporary church crowds, that all these things that appeal to our pride, to the lust of our eyes, to the lust of our flesh, is not of the Father. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, we can be patient because we know in the end who wins. I've read the book, and I know who ends, because God already ordained it from the beginning of the world, as we read in our text. Now, we could go on with being not conformed to this world. For an example, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. By the way, it shows that presenting your body holy and acceptable unto God and a living sacrifice is reasonable service. The word service there has the idea of worship. It's a way in which we worship God. If our lives are not holy, they're not a living sacrifice unto God, then, my friend, we're not worshiping God with our life. By the way, the living sacrifice, we've said this before, but it shows us the difference. You can be a dead ox, a dead sacrifice on the altar, or the ox that's the living sacrifice who has given himself to the plow of the farmer who farms the land, the husbandman, and so is still a sacrifice, but in this case, a living sacrifice. He goes on in verse 2 and says, and be not conformed to this world. Again, there's no doubt of what that is saying. It's not saying maybe, well, if you don't feel like it, or if you feel like, you know, no, it doesn't say that at all. And be not conformed to this world. That's a straight command. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? With the Word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let me say this. A local church cannot be all things to all people. It must represent fundamental biblical beliefs from God's Word, which must never, and I emphasize never, be compromised for the purpose of swelling numbers or so-called peace with the world. And God holds the pastor first responsible that he does not allow this into the local church. Meeting with our staff this morning, and one of the things I said, God is even before your family, and we showed that from the Word of God. You've got a family member that goes into the false doctrine, goes into sin. That doesn't make it different because they're your children. We covered many verses that I won't go into here, but understand God is even before your children. Perhaps Luke 14:26 would be a good verse to look up in that regard. And so we see that these things are there. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Now we read the very first verse of the next chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Even Noah's day, God saw that the thoughts of men were only evil continually. And what did God do? He destroyed the world with a flood of water. So we understand that even the hearts, he says, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You know, we say, well, it's just this idea of separation deals with the spirit, the inner man. Well, it also deals with the flesh. What did we read in Romans 12:1? To present your what? Your spirit? No, it said your bodies, a living sacrifice. And then we've seen the second verse to renew your mind. How about Ephesians 4:22-24? That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That old nature, that old man. You need to put that off according to the way you used to live. It's corrupt. And then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, it's in righteousness and it's in true holiness. Now again, he said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That's 1 Peter 1:14-16. And so, again, we're told not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. You know what the idea of fashioning yourselves is? Not emulating. Don't try to emulate the former life in your new Christian life. Don't try to make the things of God to compatible with that which was worldly, that which was in your life, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.